Hello everyone, and thank you for joining us today. My name's Lou Bennett. I am Joint CEO at IDPE. And today I am joined by Leslie Dowdall, who's Director of Development at Withington Girls, and Eleanor Wood, who is Development Manager at Ardingly College. And they're joining me today because we wanted to sort of chat through the importance of development and the importance of the impact of the work that development teams do, not just on the sort of fundraising and supporting the school in terms of engagement, but also the wider impact and how we can demonstrate that impact on the wider school. And in particular, given the past sort of 6 months and the COVID crisis. So Leslie, if I can start with you. When we went into lockdown, sort of 6 months ago now, you made the case to your senior leadership to demonstrate the importance of sustaining engagement and effectively not pressing pause on development. I just wondered if you can tell me how you demonstrated the potential impact you could have in response to the COVID crisis.
Yeah, of course. So one of the things I first did, obviously when the pandemic hit, was really take a refresh and a relook at what are the school's concerns right now? What are my SLT really thinking about? And it was clear that there were four main areas that they were concerned about. One being maintaining pupils' mental health and wellbeing, which I think obviously was top of many people's lists. Developing and enhancing remote learning, which of course was put in place pretty quickly. Maintaining that sense of community, which has always been a key part of Withington, and it's something that we didn't want to lose over this time, so keeping the whole school community together. And also there was that concern about, well, are parents going to recognise the value of a remote education, and will there be questions about school fees? So those were things my SLT were thinking about, and I looked at, well, how can we as a development team support activities that address those concerns. So in terms of remote learning and well-being enrichment, we looked at, well, the school were introducing a programme of virtual assemblies. So we got alums involved in that. We had an alum particularly talking about well-being during the crisis and how to look after yourself. The school launched a podcast for pupils, so we had alums contributing to that. We launched a pen pal program for junior pupils, corresponding with our more senior alums, and we looked at how our annual fund can contribute, what projects we're supporting, and actually we looked to prioritise projects that would in future replace activities that had been lost during COVID. And similarly, we looked at the careers program, obviously virtual careers sessions and what we could do there. And then on alumni and community engagement, we launched an alumni podcast. We had an alumni survey to find out how people wanted to be communicated with during this time. We started virtual alumni reunions, which came actually as a result of the feedback from the survey. And then contributing to other school initiatives, there was an initiative called Journal 2020. That was all about documenting this time for our archives and getting alum perspectives documented in that as well. And all that eventually led to a bursary and hardship appeal as well that we're just kind of drawing to a close at the moment. But it was really about what are our SLT concerned about? How can we contribute to those areas? And really matching, this is the initiative that addresses this concern. So that was my approach in the initial stage.
That's a really comprehensive sort of program of activity that really addresses all those different key concerns that your head and your senior leadership had. And I know, Eleanor, you had a sort of similar approach. I wonder if you could explain sort of some of the different things that you did in order to sort of really demonstrate the impact that you could have as a team during the crisis.
Yes, of course. I think we, in the Alumni Development Office, we immediately felt that there was an opportunity that our former pupils were at home. And so in some sense, they were a captive audience for us. And we felt that, you know, people would be looking for ways to interact differently and relieve the lockdown blues and boredom or whatever it might be. And that we, you know, we should be part of that solution for them, that we are an important part of their lives. And we want to be a community and we need to support them in this time. I think we also quickly realized that there would be people that we could involve, former pupils we could involve, who don't usually have the time. You know, they don't have the time to come and visit campus. They're always, you know, extremely busy professionals or working. And that opportunity, I made the case to our senior team that we didn't want to lose. We didn't want to lose that by in any way slowing down our activity. I also made the point very firmly, you know, of how damaging it would be to press pause. That that stop-start approach, you know, is completely detrimental to building the kind of trusting relationships that, you know, underpin strong alumni engagement and then philanthropy. And I felt that, you know, people would expect and deserve their community to be there for them at this, you know, unprecedented time we all found ourselves in. And that if we weren't, that somehow that silence would be deafening. And then when we all rocked back to the office and started thinking about our bursary campaigns, you know, what, you know, how could we do that if we hadn't been there for them in some way in this time? So, you know, and with the obvious then knock-on negative effect in terms of fundraising success. So I made that kind of dual point that there was a real opportunity in this crisis, but also actually it would be really, really damaging to stop. Interestingly, I think everything that Leslie was saying about matching what we were doing to our senior team and their priorities, I, when preparing for this chat, I dusted off the business case. I went back to it, having not looked at it in since March. And yes, I said that we would add value and bring value to distance learning, knowing full well that there was, you know, a lot of anxiety around how parents would respond to this offer and, you know, and continue to pay fees and the like. Has to be said that in my business case, I was pretty vague. I just confidently said that we would add value. And actually in March, I don't think I really knew what that would look like. And so that's been just fascinating over the months, really, is actually how we were able to deliver on that bold promise I made back in March to stop my team being furloughed. I think specific for my office, I joined RDLI in 2019 and we had 150th anniversary to prepare for in 2020. So the moment I started, all our work had been focused on that, you know, that big anniversary and the events, the kind of, you know, blue chip events that went with it. It meant that I had to work around a lot of data challenges rather than really spend time sorting our data set out. So again, when kind of lockdown hit, I thought, right, I've got a golden opportunity here, free from the kind of, you know, schedule of events and all that goes with it, to actually really dive into our data and improve it for the long term, to get us on a decent footing for the long term. And again, I knew that that would be a huge job and a team effort would be required. So as well as I have an alumni officer and an archivist as part of my little team, and the archivist has done sterling work all the way through this period, checking our core data points in admissions registers, because the data set that we had needed a lot of work to improve its accuracy. So you know, that was a specific gain that we could have in this period. And again, I was able to make the point of why that would really help us as an office going forward. And I think with all of that, it was making that case that actually in terms of value for money, we are an income generating office, and that a stop start approach to that would be damaging in the long term, and that actually we've got more than enough to be doing that will make a positive contribution to that long-term sustainability and that, you know, diversity of income and away from a reliance on fees, which is what the senior team are, you know, want us to do. So yeah, similar, I think, to Leslie, although I have to, yeah, confess I was quite vague when I said we'd add value, and it took them the kind of weeks that followed to really find out what that meant.
Thank you, Eleanor, and that's really really honest as well in terms of looking back, and I guess that kind of leads me really nicely on into my next question in terms of sort of 6 months on, what you've learned, really. You know, what have been your key takeaways over the 6 months? What's worked? What would you do differently, heaven forbid, if you had your time again? But also, I suppose, what will you keep, you know, in terms of moving forward? Because that actually, you never would have tried it before, and now you've tried it and it really worked. So yeah, what's been your learnings?
Well, definitely that confidence that I tried to exude that we would add value to distance learning, that more than paid dividends, and was a really kind of exciting part, really, what was a very strange time. So we completely embraced the new normal and encouraged our former pupils to really participate in the lives of our current pupils all over the globe. And so they were, yeah, they were hopping on. We used Teams, so our OAs were hopping on Teams to engage with our current pupils' learning, whether they were leading academic extension sessions or they were offering university advice, or we had, you know, discussions on the Black Lives Matter movement, all kinds of activity, you know, from a recent graduate giving advice right the way through to a professor at Columbia. And it was so heartening, just the warmth of the community and the willingness to give their time and be involved. It really was really inspiring, to be honest. I think the highlight was a panel discussion. We discovered we had quite a few experts in the energy sector and working in the climate change kind of space. And so we pulled together this panel discussion using the geography and the science departments and then three expert OAs, one in London, one in Abu Dhabi, and one in Sydney. So the challenges of pulling that together across multiple time zones with a live, you know, live question and answer and live audience. We would never have done that. We would never have engaged those former pupils because we would have been thinking about inviting people into college and the chances of having someone from Sydney at the same time as someone from Abu Dhabi and then someone scooting down from London. It just wouldn't have happened. And it was a fantastic, fantastic event. It was really well received across the college. And then in terms of the parent community, we shared the recording then later with the OA community. And it, you know, when I wrote that business case in March, I had no idea that we would be doing a panel discussion across, you know, that many different time zones and involving that many expert OAs who, you know, who hadn't been involved with the college before particularly. So that was a huge highlight. I think the other thing I learned was actually just the power again of conversations. So another initiative we had was a Here to Chat initiative. So people could, former pupils could submit a form saying they fancied a chat and either me or my alumni officer would give them a ring. I also started making proactive phone calls to our old Ardennians. Well-being calls, essentially, just ringing for a chat. But we were also working on our next Ardennian magazine, the alumni magazine that goes out each year. And one of those articles was obviously marking 25 years since the end of World War II. So although there were well-being calls for all of those OAs in that period of the school, I was also ringing to talk about the war years at Ardennai. And really, it was a hugely valuable thing to do. And I dedicated Friday afternoons basically to my OA phone calls. And it was a really, you know, just positive and enlightening reminder that when we're stuck at our desks, typing away, answering emails, dealing with colleagues, actually you can forget that you can just pick up the phone and talk to your community and just how, you know, how positive and how powerful that is in terms of getting to know people. And again, I think under lockdown, we felt like we had more permission to do that. You know, when everyone was at home, you felt more able perhaps to pick up the phone. But having got so much from that, I'm certainly going to continue it in these post-lockdown days. And I think, you know, in terms of what I would do differently, I think perhaps manage my own expectations. I felt the disappointment of not having the anniversary events, but I also felt quite free to not suddenly have a huge anniversary to manage and to organise. And I think I imagined that the data work, I would be able to, you know, blitz that in the free time that I had, you know, and organise my prospects and everything else. And I totally underestimated actually how busy we would be with all the new engagement opportunities that we were really, really pushing. So alas, the data project is still ongoing.
It's a typical fundraiser who has high expectations no matter what is going on around them. It's really interesting to see how you've accelerated perhaps things that you're already doing in terms of, you know, the conversations and how it kind of encouraged and acted as a catalyst to have more conversations with your community, as you say, picking up the phone. But also that real added value to the learning program that I'm assuming will sort of carry on, you know, into the future, and real opportunity to add value to actually education, perhaps more so than, and for the whole school to see that, not just, and the whole community to see that. What about you, Leslie? What's sort of been the takeaways from the last 6 months of lockdown? What worked and what would you do differently?
Yeah, I think one of the, just thinking back and reflecting has been quite interesting. And I think one of the key things for me is the confidence to try new things. We wouldn't have thought about doing a completely 100% online reunion before this. But it's okay to try it, and it's okay if it doesn't necessarily run 100% smoothly. People are very forgiving when you try and sort of new stuff, particularly during lockdown. You don't have to have everybody there. Small groups are fine. Doesn't matter if the tech has a glitch here or there. It's okay. You can try it and it's fine. And everybody actually still really enjoys it. So that confidence to try new things. We will definitely be continuing with virtual careers events. It's been an opportunity to open those up to more recent alums as well. And virtual social events. Although I think a key thing is not to get too carried away the virtual world going forward, and recognising that people won't want to continue 100% virtually. So the feedback we got from our virtual events were very much, they really loved them, really enjoyed them. Going forward, it has to be a mix, was what we were getting back. They wouldn't want 100% virtual events going forward. They do still want to meet in person. So when we can, that's still going to be, you know, a core element for us. The other thing that certainly the crisis gave us, somebody said, I can't remember who it was, is never waste a good crisis. And I think that was certainly true with our bursary appeal. So we didn't jump into a bursary appeal. We took our time with it. We surveyed our alums to get the mood music out there. Would it be welcomed? But what the crisis did give us was that sense of urgency when we did go out and ask. I think the best fundraising appeals do have that sense of urgency. We needed to give now, not later, not tomorrow, next month. We needed to give now. And certainly the crisis gave us that sense of urgency. The other thing that we started and that we're going to be developing going forward is looking how we can develop further our partnership work. An example is we've been working with an organisation called the Bursary Foundation that work with pupils in year five in disadvantaged areas to provide tutoring for them so that they're in a good position to be able to sit the entrance exams for selected schools like ours. And, you know, during lockdown, some of the pupils were beginning to lose motivation, as we all were. And so getting some of our bursary ambassadors to join them on one of their Zoom tutorials, to have a chat to them, just to talk about what life was like at secondary school. We're going to do one with parents coming up as well. So bursary parents at our school, talking to potential bursary applicants about what it means to be a bursary parent, what's the process like, etc. So how can actually we use the lessons that we've learned with our alumni community to use that with other communities, and particularly with our partnership work as well. So there's further innovation that we can do, which is exhausting to think about, because it has been everything we've been doing is new, which I'm sure is the same for everybody. And the same with Eleanor, all those lists of things that I was going to do during lockdown, all those lists of things that have been on the back burner for such a long time, never got round to, because, you know, it was an exciting time to try new stuff. But that confidence hopefully will continue to keep innovating and keep trying things, and if it doesn't work, that's okay.
Yeah, so I think that sort of strengthening the community has been really, and the opportunities that things like partnerships and those bursaries of the bursary appeal and things like that, but also, as you say, it's okay to take a bit of a risk and have a go, because look what's happened when we do. I mean, there's been some real positives. So moving on then, Leslie, start of the new academic year. What's next? So, you know, have you decided to adapt your development strategy? I mean, you've talked a little bit about running a mix of events moving forward. Are you carrying on with virtual events in the short term and then moving to face-to-face? Are you carrying on fundraising? You talked about your hardship appeal. Is it just going back to sort of bursaries now, or are you carrying on with the hardship? What what does now and beyond into 2021 look like?
Yeah, so I mean, for us on the fundraising side, we were already refocusing on bursaries. And actually with our appeal, we very much talked about bursaries and hardship together. We didn't talk solely about hardship. It was very much about bursaries and hardship, because to me, they're two sides of the same coin, actually. And so, yes, that isn't going to change. What it did allow, and which was already in our strategy anyway, was a diversification of how we are asking. So our appeal actually was a direct mail appeal, and a very different direct mail than the school has previously done. I'm sure I pushed our head out of her comfort zone in signing a letter or putting her name to a letter that was very, very, very different from the letters that she'd previously written or been asked to sign. But it worked, and it allowed us to reach people we would never have reached during a phone campaign or other methods. So again, diversifying our ways of asking. So we will be continuing with a phone campaign. We are looking at going remote with that. So we won't necessarily have callers in the building, but we're looking at doing that remotely with one of the consultancies. More reaching out direct mail. We're looking now about how we utilise online giving as well, and crowdfunding, etc. Again, that was already kind of in the pipeline and in our thinking, but just feels that we've got even more freedom to do that because people are just so much more open to trying new things now. So that is certainly key. I think on the fundraising side, the thing we do need to develop, certainly in the short term, and I've done some of this, but really need to develop further, is the major gifts virtual meetings, with not being able to go out and physically meet major donors. I've certainly had some of those virtual meetings, but really looking at how we take those forward and how is it possible to start a relationship virtually as well. I guess it's a little bit easier if you already know those individuals, but starting that virtual relationship and how we can use the schools. So the school is planning to do some virtual performances, etc. So instead of the usual round of Christmas shows, we'll be doing things more virtually. How can we piggyback on those and use those to engage both prospects and other alums as well? On the career side, again, just building on what we've done so far, I think the short term will have to be virtually, but then moving to a mixed model, but also building up that library. We've now got, a video library of previous sessions. That value of that is they're there for people to watch whenever they want to. And so we want to sort of build that up and strengthen around key themes that our head of careers have identified. So our strategy hasn't changed about what we want to do, how we'll deliver it. Yes, of course, that's had to change, but it will be a mixed model going forward. I see it, as Alan said, huge opportunities to engage new people, to try new things, and to innovate and diversify what we do.
And perhaps as a result of COVID, maybe the relationships or some of those relationships are stronger and therefore maybe offers more opportunity, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've had certainly people coming back to us on either the podcast or the virtual events or careers events or pen pal programs or any other myriad of programs we're doing. And they've on my list to do actually is an analysis of all that. Anecdotally, I can tell you that there's quite a lot of new people who haven't engaged with us before. New donors or new speakers or just new contacts. And then it's the real analysis of, okay, well, how many were brand new and how did we get those? And so we are able to reach out to more people because we have more methods of doing that and people will respond to different ways. As I said, some of the people that gave during our appeal, they won't give during a telephone campaign, either because we didn't have a telephone number or it's just not their preferred way of giving. So absolutely, there's certainly huge opportunities there.
So new relationships and new opportunities to build upon, really, isn't it, moving forward? Absolutely. But actually the strategy is the same, really. You've not changed the vision, you've not changed the direction in which the school is going. It's just that actually maybe your approaches to that could be varied and could embrace a whole new way of of, as you say, reaching out and engaging with those, with the different audiences, which is brilliant. Yeah. And Eleanor, what about you? So yeah, start of September, kids have gone nearly back to school. What are sort of your plans moving forward? Are you going to carry on, you know, are you fundraising, is carrying on with your engagement, your data project? How is it all going to sort of fit together over this term and into 2021?
Yeah, so we have, I agree with Leslie absolutely that the kind of headline, you know, the, as you said, the direction, the vision of the school, you know, that hasn't changed. So in essence, the strategy is the same. We have had one change though, as kind of part really of the anniversary and then moving forward more ambitiously from that. There was a major capital project in the pipeline to build a theatre performing arts space. And I was in the sort of planning stages for that. But that quite quickly got announced that it wouldn't be happening on the same timetable, you know, in response to the pandemic, that would be at least stalled, if not, for the time being. And I actually, again, I sort of took that as a positive, because when I joined RD&I, to me, it looked like a very tight capital campaign timeframe, because no one ever quite builds it, I feel, enough time in really for that early work of a capital campaign. So I wasn't particularly fazed by that, although we have managed to find another little capital project, which actually is a really good fit, I feel, for kind of coming out of lockdown. It's a refurbishment project of a space, so not a new build, not, you know, steel and glass, but refurbishing something that's there, a building that's not being used at the moment, that will become a new social sort of cafe space. And you know, that's what the community's missed that coming together. So it's a nice kind of symbol really for a new part of the college. And over the kind of virtual lockdown days, it managed to steward in a major gift that pretty much pays for that project. So any fundraising we do around that is about participation, about being part of it, rather than a crikey, this is what we need in order to get this thing built. So in that sense, it's all about, you know, positive messaging and the community coming together, and it's I think it'll be a really nice a nice little project. So there is something new, but yeah, bursary's hardship. I took the same line as Leslie, that I don't divide those. It's not like we were asking for hardship emergency funds and now we need to ask for bursaries. It's part of the same conversation. At RD&I, a lot of the bursary funding comes from the commercial income, from, you know, the lettings during the holidays. So actually the pressure on that, you know, on that bursary funding is really, really acute now. Not just the need is greater, but actually the commercial income that's really supported it has obviously gone down. So that sense that, again, Leslie alluded to, that, you know, why we're asking now, it's not about, you know, tomorrow, next month, next year. Yes, bursaries is an ongoing cause, but actually the need is really acute just now. You know, that messaging, I think, will be really important to us. Events, yeah, we're not going back to big face-to-face events, I think, anytime soon. Our kind of big reunion events are in May. So we'd already taken the decision to do a kind of bumper edition in 2021 that combines, you know, the noughts and the ones for those leaving cohorts. So we're kind of, in terms of the face-to-face events, looking further down the line. We haven't got anything for Michaelmas. Everything's been moved already. We're very much going to continue, you know, with that blended approach of having a few more, you know, perhaps individuals coming in now to be able to support the careers or academic enrichment, but still keeping our, you know, our OAs hopping on teams as much as we can to get their active participation that way, because it you know, it works so brilliantly. And, you know, the more of that we can do, albeit, you know, recognising, as you said, that everyone's perhaps, you know, reached that level of Zoom fatigue, and also starting their own lives back again in a different way in terms of, you know, returning to their office or whatever it might be. So with that caveat, we will definitely continue using Teams and the technology that's out there. We, over Trinity term, stepped up our online engagement. You know, we were doing more frequent social media posts rather than one email campaign a term. We did two, and, you know, we did an email campaign that was a sort of mini arts festival with some live streamed events, but also pre-recorded arts content. And the feedback from that was really positive. So again, because we won't be inviting lots of people into the college to see things, that's something that we will continue to do, certainly for Michaelmas term. So yes, it's that new reality of in person a little bit, but still using the kind of the virtual opportunities that are there. The bursary need is strong, but I've got a small capital campaign to keep me busy as well. And yes, of course, the data projects, I will be pushing that particular boulder up the hill for quite some time yet, and hopeful that perhaps by Christmas I will, we will be there on that one.
That's brilliant, Eleanor. I think what I'm taking away from both you and Leslie, and we sort of started on that point of, you know, thinking about how we demonstrate value and impact, is actually that we're on a journey. So it's been a journey of innovation and creativity and learning. And by doing that, we've actually explored new ways of working. But in exploring those new ways of working, there has been that increased added value, the value that you can add to the sort of the educational side of thing, the value you can add to the careers, for example, and the virtual, the value of adding, you know, new supporters, new relationships to your databases, to your community, and being able to engage in different ways. And actually that all is going to have an impact now and into the future on the school. And there's this ever-pressing need, as you've both said, around bursaries and hardship. So Leslie, did you want to come in there?
Yeah, I think the other thing there that I think that is really important is we measure this, and we have some ways of recording, because we've all got the anecdotal stories of individuals. But actually, when you're coming down to sitting down with your governing board and saying, this is the impact we have, and having the hard figures and the graphs, say, you know, this is the number of new people that we're able to engage. So I think the importance of being able to record that in some way and measure that in some way. And then I think the other point we'd make is that we've all learned so much over the last 6 months, but there's an awful lot of learning still to do. One of the things I'm fascinated by is how can we use the virtual event to feed the physical events when we're able to do those again. So will it be, so hearing Eleanor speak, that we've done the same with our annual reunion, is that we're going to do a twice as big event next summer, hopefully. But the virtual events that we've been doing with the Noughts this year, will that lead to more people coming to the in-person because they've, you know, begun to get a taste, they've had a little reminisce, they maybe want to come back now because we've talked about the school and how it's changed physically, and we can sort of show them that. Can we use the virtual events to feed the physical and things like that? So there's a lot more learning that we can do as well. So it's an exciting time too.
I can hear a podcast too on the horizon after that learning has taken place. And I think that's a really good point actually to end on, really, that point about demonstrating impact. It's all very well to actually, we know that we make a difference. But if we can't demonstrate that, then that actually makes it really difficult for our senior leadership, for our school community to know that. It's got to be sort of that analysis. Just before we go, if you don't mind, I wouldn't mind asking that, because it'd be useful, I'm sure, for members to hear what sort of things you do to demonstrate impact. So I don't know, Leslie, if you'd like to start, whether, you know, how do you, is it a monthly sort of report? Is it a quarterly report you provide to governors? And what sort of things do you record at the moment to show your impact beyond the pound and pence?
Yeah, so this is one of the things when I came in, was really looking at, so I joined school 18 months ago, and I really came in to look at what are our KPIs? What are we measuring? You can't measure everything. And I think I've learned some new things as we've gone along with actually that I thought perhaps was important, I'm going to replace with something else. But it is looking at levels of engagement. So, and that's been quite complicated with how do you define an engaged alumni? How do you measure that? How do you record that? So that isn't a simple process, certainly not with our system on Razor's Edge anyway. But it's worth going through, and it's worth looking at that. But I think the important thing is looking at your strategy. What is important in your strategy? What do you want to measure? And then figuring out, can you measure that, and how are you going to measure it? I don't give chapter and verse to my board every month. They don't want that. But my plan is to produce a full annual report each year, measuring against the headline KPIs. I have some then underpinning, enabling KPIs that I'll share with my own team, but probably won't get too much detail for the board. So just identifying those headline KPIs that I share, but things that then it's really updating particular initiatives. Obviously, they're interested in the bursary appeal and how that's going and things like that. So then just updating on particular individual initiatives in between them.
Thanks, Lizzie. And what about you, Eleanor? Is there things, how do you, beyond sort of the physical, we've raised X, what other things do you measure or demonstrate to your board?
Well, it, in some ways it links back into the data project because we were coming from a position of relatively fragile data, let's put it that way. So we, you know, we can measure, you know, we're still in the business of measuring the basics, you know, what's the percentage of contactability in our data set. And so that is the kind of, you know, the baseline. How are we improving? Are we able now to be in touch with more of our community? And then we were very, when we kind of in that lockdown period, when we started picking up the phone to people and whatever, we realized how we need to capture this. We can't just say we've made lots of phone calls. So we were very rigorous at recording all of those just so we could say, yeah, actually we've spoken to this number of people and we've had this many follow-ups and we could track all of that. My alumni officer is brilliant on the kind of social media side of things. And again, she is great at, you know, demonstrating who's opening our emails, who's clicking through, who's sharing them, who's reading our Facebook posts, who's commenting and putting that in a kind of digestible form that we can then pass on to, you know, pass on to the senior team. And I think that's really important because we were coming from not a standing start, but certainly we're a relatively young office in terms of the engagement that we are doing at the moment. So we can, you know, we can show that, well, that increase certainly in activity. And I think it's really important to measure that so that, again, you know, senior leadership see that it isn't just about, okay, how much money have you raised today? That actually, you know, the other measures of an engaged community are as important. And of course, as we all know, you know, without that, you're not going to get the pounds and the money coming in terms of a philanthropic giving community. So that's really important to us. And I think we haven't got all the answers yet in terms of how we best measure and therefore track engagement. And certainly our data project is part of that because we've not had the tools in terms of a WYSI CRM to actually do some of that measuring for us, if you see what I mean. So we're very much, putting systems in place to capture what we can to show the difference that we've made and trying to be rigorous about it. I think that's probably where we are with it.
That's brilliant. And it's great to see. So it's sort of not just about demonstrating the value and doing, and it's not just about doing that, but actually demonstrating the value is just as important as actually creating, making that difference, isn't it? So, and it's great to hear how you're sort of both looking at how you can do that. And as you say, these things always evolve and change as our lives have evolved and changed over the last 6 months. So on that note, I just wanted to say thank you both. Thank you, Leslie. Thank you, Eleanor, for taking the time to share, where you've come from, what you've been working on, some really invaluable ideas to take away, and also where you're going to and where your priorities are moving forward. It's really appreciated. And as I say, we'll have to get in touch for that podcast too to see what's happened in the next 6 months or to a year after maybe your virtual events, virtual stroke face-to-face reunions next year. So thank you very much and look forward to speaking to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.